Well, it's good to have you here today as we wrap up this series that we've been in, Do Good. You know, there are a lot of times where I will know the right thing to do, and yet I just don't do it. I mean, there are times where I'm kind of tempted to be selfish, to just focus on what I want, to focus on my comfort, my convenience. This is what I feel like I want right now. I mean, you probably don't do this, but there have been a bunch of times in my life where I will do this or something similar to it. But I'll like walk into the kitchen and I need to throw a piece of trash away, and our trash is in the pantry, little pantry that we have. And so I'll open the door and the trash can is just like overflowing with garbage and trash. I mean, it's falling off of it. It's heaped up. And I'll have my little piece of trash, and it'll cross my mind. What I should do is I should take all this trash, stuff it down if I can, and pull it out and take it out to the big trash can outside, put a new trash bag, a little plastic trash bag in here, and I should do that. But it's like, you don't know. I'm not going to do it. I'm not the one that did this. I'm not the one that heaped all this up and left this big mess. That was somebody else. I'm not doing so. I will just precariously put my little piece of trash on top, make sure my piece doesn't fall off, and I'll just go on. I knew the right thing to do. I just didn't do it. Or I'll have a dirty plate, and I'm going to put it in the dishwasher, and I'll open up the dishwasher, and everything's clean in there. And it's like, oh, man, to put my dirty dish in, I need to put all the silverware away, all the other dishes away. I'm not doing that. I'll just shut it, and I'll just put my plate in the sink, rinse it off, and just go on. Why? Why do I do that? I'm just being selfish. And I'm just more concerned about my comfort, my convenience, than I am what's going on in anybody else's life. I mean, I'm so busy, and I guess I think I'm so important that I don't have time to do this, you know, little menial task right here. Or I'll get caught in a conversation, and we'll be talking, and the conversation turns into a little bit of a disagreement, a little bit of a debate, which is code word for argument. And maybe with my spouse or with Melody, with somebody else, and all of a sudden, they'll say something, and I'll realize internally, whoa, they're right. I'm wrong. But I don't let it go. I just keep going. I just keep pressing ahead. I don't concede. Why? What's up with that? I want to win. I want to be right in this situation. You know, it's just all about me. I am just feeding my selfishness. You ever do that? No, you probably never do. But some of us sometimes we fall into that. Maybe it was, you know, your baby is crying, it's the middle of the night, and the baby's wailing, and you just lay there in bed just as still as you can, hoping that your spouse will wake up and that they'll take care of things so you don't have to. You're just faking it the whole time. Or maybe, you know, somebody says something or they do something, and man, you, everything in you just wants to give them. I mean, they're pushing buttons, okay? They're just pushing all these buttons in you because of what they said it in. And you want to give them a piece of your mind. You want to set the record straight. You want to put them in their place. But then all of a sudden you hear like this little voice inside that says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. But you decide you're going to do it anyway. And so you just blurt it all out. You just kind of spew and vomit all over this person. And sure enough, it messes everything in the relationship up. All of a sudden, there's all this extra tension, and everything is going south in the whole relationship. Or maybe at some point, we stabbed a friend in the back just to get ahead, just to look good ourselves. We took advantage of them. Or we lied to a customer. Why? Because we just wanted to close the deal. And after all, everybody's doing it. Or we passed on a rumor about someone that we were pretty sure it wasn't true, but we just kind of wanted to fit in with the group of people that we were hanging with, so we just kind of let it slide. Or maybe we've been in a relationship that we've been moving into further and further into this relationship with someone other than our spouse. And the reality is we know that we are playing with fire, but we just keep pushing ahead, going further and further in this relationship with this person. Or maybe we find ourselves just filling our schedule so full of so much different stuff that we just never have time for God. You know, sometimes we know the right thing to do and we just don't do it. Sometimes we're tempted to just be selfish, to just focus on ourselves, on what's going on in our life, our comfort, our convenience. But every time that we do something that we know is wrong, what happens is it makes it easier to do the wrong thing again the next time. Every time that we choose to do what is wrong, it makes it easier to do that the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. You know, whatever it is that we do, actually, whether it's good or bad, when we do it, it makes it easier to do that same thing or something similar the next time. I mean, it's kind of like if you're going to start working out, and you set your alarm to get up to be able to work out. If that first morning when the alarm goes off, you turn it off, you get up, you get ready, you go out, and you work out. Next day, you get up. The alarm goes off, you get up, you go do the same thing the third day. And if you do that 2-3 weeks in a row where you get up, each time that you do that, each time that you get up and you follow through, it makes it easier to do that again. So before long, you're in a groove, okay? You've established a new pattern, a new habit in your life, and it just goes getting easier and easier to get up and work out. It's a good thing in your life. But if the first day that alarm goes off, you reach over and you push the snooze button. And then it goes off again, and you push it again, and you push it third, a fourth time. You're at, not today, tomorrow I'm going to start working out. Second day comes, and the alarm goes off, and you just turn it off. It's not going to happen today. Third day, you decide, oh, I'm going to take a break today. I'm not sure what you're taking a break from, but I'm going to take a break today. I'm going to start the working out tomorrow. But by then, you've established a pattern, and it just goes getting easier and easier and easier to not work out. Every time that we make a choice, that we make a decision in our life, it sets us on a path, okay? And if the path that we start heading down is a path where we are not doing the right thing, every time that we do the wrong thing in our life, it just goes getting easier and easier to do the wrong thing. It just keeps getting easier in our life. But every choice, what we need to realize, every choice, every decision that we make sets us on a path. And every path that we get on, it is taking us somewhere. So the big question that we need to ask ourselves, is this the path that is going to lead me where I am truly, really wanting to go in my life? Is this really the person that I want to be? Is it really? God speaks into this. You know what God says? God says that when we do good, it's going to set us up for rewards. When we pursue God and we pursue His way, it sets us on a path of rewards. Now, that doesn't mean that as Christians that we're never going to face challenges or hardships or losses in our life. I mean, Scripture is very honest, very clear. That even as Christians, as followers, there will be challenges that we face. There will be setbacks. There are going to be troubles in our life. But when we pursue God, when we pursue doing the right thing, when we do good in our lives, not out of guilt, not out of duty or obligation or because we think it's going to get us to heaven, when we do it out of love and gratitude for God, that sets us on a path that leads to a positive payback in our life. But on the other hand, when we pursue our own ways, when we bend towards selfishness and being self-absorbed and just doing what we want, what's convenient for us, what's comfortable for us, it's all about me and me doing my own thing. Once we get past the immediate gratification, once that wears off, it will always lead to consequences. It will lead to complications, at times confusion, heartache, just messiness in our life. It'll mess up and lead to strained relationships. It will damage relationships. Every decision that we make, leads us somewhere. Every choice that we make, it leads us somewhere. It puts us on a path. And there is a ripple effect from whatever path that we get on, whatever choice that we make. And the ripple effect can either go in a positive direction, either we set in motion a positive ripple effect, or we set in motion a negative ripple effect based on the choices that we make, based on our decisions. The terminology that Scripture actually uses is kind of an agrarian terminology, that's farming terminology. It says we reap what we sow. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. When it comes to farming, when it comes to crops, if you sow, for example, corn, if you plant corn, you are going to reap corn. Yes, very, very good. If we sow or if we plant soybean, we're going to reap soybean, exactly. But what a lot of us don't realize is that while this principle is true and it's obvious when it comes to crops, God has set this same principle of sowing and reaping in place when it comes to our choices, our decisions, our actions, our words, our behavior, what we do with our time, how we treat people. There is a principle, there is a law that God has set in motion of sowing and reaping. We are going to reap what we sow in our life. When we make decisions, when we make choices, we are going to sow the result of the kind of decision that we sowed. We are going to reap what we sow. There is a ripple effect of the choices and decisions that we make. There is this principle of sowing and reaping. Did you realize that? Did you know that when you go through life, there is this principle, there is this law that is in place of sowing and reaping that affects you in every choice, every decision that you make? What's interesting is that a lot of us, we live our lives thinking we can pull one over on God. We can do whatever we want, and God isn't really going to know, or he's not going to pay attention. It's really not going to affect anything. But I want you to see for yourself, I want you to see what Scripture actually says about this, what God says about it. So if you have your Bible, if you would open it to Galatians chapter 6. Now, Galatians is a small little letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in an area known as Galatia. If you're looking it up, it's right between 1st, 2nd Corinthians and Ephesians. The primary reason, the primary purpose for Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing this little letter was to nail down that the way we are made right with God, the way we come into a relationship with Him, the way we get into heaven, is not based on our good works, on our good deeds, on the good things that we do. It's not based on that. It's not based on following a bunch of religious rituals or ceremonies or traditions or any of that kind of stuff. The way we are made right with God, what brings us into the good graces of God, gets into heaven, is faith. It's faith, placing our faith, our trust, our confidence in Jesus and what he did on the cross. So that's what's behind all of this little letter that Paul writes to the Christians in this region of Galatia. And that's where we pick up in the midst of this, talking about this whole deal of sowing and reaping. So look at this. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived," or don't fool yourself, is what it's saying. God cannot be mocked or snubbed. God is this amazing, caring, loving God that wants to walk with us through whatever it is that we're facing. He wants us to experience the most out of our lives. Well, God is a loving, caring, just this amazing God. He is also a holy God, which means that he is set apart. And as such, he deserves to be revered. He deserves our respect. What we need, how we should live, is just a sense of awe of who he is. We're to live our lives reverencing him, respecting him. So it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He isn't going to allow us to just kind of yank his chain and take advantage of him. So God, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps. Here's the same. A man reaps what he sows. A person reaps. We're all going to reap what we sow. Now, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to agree with that. But you need to understand that that's not what I'm saying. That is what Scripture says. And whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that principle, that law is in effect in our lives. So as we look at the Scripture, there are three takeaways that I really want you to get. Number one, we need to recognize that there is a ripple effect to our choices. We need to recognize there is a ripple effect to our choices, to our decisions. We need to recognize that our choices, our actions, our words have either a positive or a negative ripple effect in our lives as well as in the lives of those around us. There are consequences, positive or negative, to our actions, to our words, to the choices that we make. Every decision leads somewhere, good and bad. There is a principle of sowing and reaping that God has set in place. So the Scripture goes on here in verse 8, and it says, whoever sows to please their flesh. And when it's talking about flesh right there, it's not talking about our skin or a chunk of our body. What it's talking about as our flesh is our sinful nature. It's talking about our selfish and self-absorbed desires. It's talking about those internal desires that nudge us to do our own thing, to do what feels good to us, to just do what everybody else is doing. Okay? Regardless of what God says, it's that inner voice that kind of lures us to ignore God and turn our back on God. So it says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction or corruption. It'll lead to complications and heartache and pain and confusion. It will tend to create turmoil in our relationships. For example, if we ignore God's financial principles of living within our means and being content with what we have and living lives of generosity and putting money back in savings. If we just totally ignore what God says in that area of our lives, our finances are probably eventually going to get all out of whack. Probably our whole attitude on finances is going to be a little out of whack when we ignore God's principles in that area of our life. If we ignore God's relational principles of loving and honoring and caring and listening and valuing the people in our lives, our relationships will tend to atrophy. Our relationships will tend to suffer. If we don't build in to other people's lives and encourage them and help them flourish and bloom and soar and become the individuals that God made them to be, you know what will happen in our lives? Is we ourselves will miss out on part of God's purpose for our lives, because part of God's purpose is that he wants us building in to other people's lives to help them become who God made them to be. If we don't prioritize God, we just kind of leave him out of the picture. We leave him out of our schedule. We're not spending time with him. We're not delighting in him. We're not yielding our lives to him. There's always going to be the sense of emptiness within us. There will be an emptiness in our soul. And if we never acknowledge our sin and turn to God in humility and say, God, I need you. I want Jesus to be the Savior of my life. I am placing my faith, my trust in Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross for me and then coming back to life 3 days later, the resurrection of Jesus, which we are celebrating next week. I mean, this incredible monumental event in history that just changes everything. And you do not want to miss next week. As we talk about this, we move into this new series. Dealing with, do we really need God? Do we really? And we're gonna wrestle that deal to the ground. But here, if we don't place our faith, our trust in Jesus, we're gonna live eternally separated from God. We reap what we sow. We sow to the flesh, and we're gonna reap to the flesh. So it says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Then it goes on and says, whoever sows, and sowing is referring to how we live our lives. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, this is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. When we place our faith in Jesus and we live our lives in sync, in harmony, in step with the Spirit of God, we're following Jesus, we're following his ways and honoring him, we will gain God's blessing and experience a harvest, it's saying here, that will last forever. And we will live, as we do that, we will live with the assurance of eternal life. So it's saying we're going to reap what we sow. It's a principle of sowing and reaping. Every decision leads somewhere. So, are we going to sow to the flesh and just do our own thing, what we want to do? Or are we going to sow to the Spirit and follow God and his ways and honor him? And when we sow to the Spirit, we will gain God's blessing and experience a harvest that will last forever. That's the difference that it makes. So how are we going to live? We're going to live sowing to the flesh. We're going to live sowing to the Spirit. What path, what road do we want to live our lives on? Which path is it going to be? And I mean, so many times in my life where I'll be driving along, and this may not happen to you, but I'll get on the interstate on a highway, and I'll be going a ways, and all of a sudden I'll realize, whoa, I'm going the wrong direction. This isn't where I meant to go. And at that point, I've got a decision to make. I can get off, exit, and then get back on and start heading where I want to go, or I can just go straight. I can just keep going where I'm headed. But the further we go on the road that isn't taking us where we want to go, the further we get from the destination where ultimately we want to go. We've got to decide in our life, is the path that we're on, is it taking us where we want to go? And if it's not, we've got to decide, am I going to stay on this path? The longer I stay on this path, the further I get from where I really want to go. Or am I going to exit and turn around and start heading down the path where I need to go? We all have a choice. We all have to choose what path, what road we're going to pursue and live on. And it's not just a one-time decision. There are hundreds of decisions every day in our life that we make that affect us. Am I going to live for myself? Or am I going to live for God? Am I going to sow to the flesh, as it says here, or am I going to sow to the Spirit? Now, you can deny this principle if you want. I mean, you can just say, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't believe that principle, that law is really in effect. But what that would be the equivalent to doing is kind of denying that the law of gravity is actually in effect. Now, you can live that way. You can live your life claiming that the law of gravity does not affect you. You could go downtown St. Louis. You could go up to the top of, say, a 20-story building and decide, hey, I'm going to jump off because I don't believe in the law of gravity. And you could the whole time be telling everybody, I don't believe the law of gravity is in effect. I don't think it's going to affect me. You jump off. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you say. You are still going to go crashing down, and you're going to splat on the ground and be one big human pancake down there. Okay, the law of gravity is in effect whether you like it or not. And in a similar way, the law of sowing and reaping, it's in effect. God has placed this law, this principle in effect. It's there whether you claim to believe it or not. And you can say, you know, I can do whatever I want and nothing's going to happen to me. Maybe not immediately, but there will always be consequences. There will always be a ripple effect. It's a law. It's a principle that God has set in place. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we look back at our lives, we'll see that that's reality. When we have disregarded God and his truths, his principles for life, we've just blown it off, blown God off. Even if you're not sure that you believe in God, but if you look back at your life, the times that you've just blown off the principles of God, and you said, man, I'm just going to do my own thing. You look back in your life, even now, just go processing through. And virtually every time that you did that, there have been complications. There's been confusion. Eventually, there's been heartache. Invariably, it's almost always affected your relationships. It's just made your life messy. Because there's this law that's in effect. Whether you've realized it's in effect or not, it's there. It's like if you lie. You know, you can lie thinking, oh, I'm getting away with something. What happens? Every time you lie, it just complicates life. Because when you tell one lie over here, you got to remember it for one, so you can keep things straight. And then somebody's going to ask you about it, and so you're going to have to lie because that doesn't make sense with something else. So you're going to make up a bigger lie to do this, and then you got to cover for that lie. And then this lie's got to cover for that one. You got to remember that you told this person this lie and this person this other lie, and now how do these mesh together? And before long, it's just a jumbled mess. Most likely at some point, it's going to catch up with you, and it's going to bite you. We keep doing it, but we ignore God in that area. It leads to complications, leads to confusion. It begins to mess up relationships. We ignore God's principles of resting, of recharging, of refocusing our lives on a regular basis. What happens? Over time, it leads to stress in our life. When we're stressed in our life, it begins to affect our relationships. Before long, what can happen is we end up burnt out. I mean, just think about these days, all the celebrities and powerful men whose worlds are collapsing all around them because of past sexual indiscretions and abuse that they've gotten involved in. These are men, I mean, we see it in the media, it's happening almost every week these days. These are guys who thought that they were untouchable. Their worlds are imploding on them. Because the choices, the decisions that we make over time, they will catch up with us. Because there's this law that God has set in place of sowing and reaping. But we get to choose. We get to choose whether we set that ripple effect in motion in a positive direction or whether we set that ripple effect in motion in a negative direction. Are we going to sow to the flesh and just do our own thing? Or are we going to sow to the Spirit and pursue God's way? We make the choice based on the decisions that we make. So number one, we need to recognize that there is a ripple effect to our choices. There is this law, this principle of sowing and reaping that God has set in place. Number two, the second takeaway that I want you to get is this. We need to never give up on doing good. Never give up on doing good. We need to persevere in doing good. Never give up. Never give up when it comes to doing good. The scripture here goes on in verse 9 and says, let us not become weary or worn out or exhausted in doing good. It's like God knows that at times we get tired, that we get exhausted. And what he's wanting to do here is he's wanting to encourage us. He's wanting to motivate us to continue to do good, to continue to do the right things. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, the harvest, the payoff, the results may not be seen or experienced immediately, but there will always be a harvest. It's like there's this cumulative value or effect or result when we do good. When we do things for God. I mean, it's kind of like the effect of putting money back in savings, putting money back to invest that money. If you only do it one time and you don't put that much back, it's not going to have that much of an effect. There aren't going to be the harvest from that isn't going to be that great. Say you put $5 back one time and you're going to invest those $5. You know, you're not going to get that big of a dividend from that. But if you were to start putting $5 back every single day meticulously, if you start earning life and you keep doing that, over time, that is going to grow. That's going to make a difference. There's going to be a cumulative effect. Or a result from that. There are going to be dividends that you gain. It's kind of like in sports. You take up a new sport or you start working out. You take up a new sport. You go out and you play that new sport once or twice. You're probably not going to be very good. You're probably going to get frustrated and it's just not going to have much of an effect. However, if you continue to play that sport on an ongoing basis, day after day, month after month, for several years, you're going to start getting good at it. It's going to make a difference. You're going to see positive results, a positive payback. If you work out one day or just 2 days, you're not going to get much at all from that. You're just going to be hurting. You're going to be sore, but that's all. If you stop at day two, but if you keep going, eventually You start making progress and headway. You start getting in shape. It goes getting easier. You get in shape in your life. There is a positive cumulative value to doing that. In your job, if you don't become weary in doing good, as it says here, eventually, chances are that you will get that promotion. Chances are you'll get that raise. But you know what? Even if you don't, if you live your life doing good, you will be respected and admired. And you will leave a legacy of integrity behind you. When you don't become weary in dieting, in your diet, you're going to see results eventually from that. There is a cumulative value from that. When you don't become weary in modeling a godly lifestyle to your kids, not a perfect lifestyle, but a lifestyle where it is clear that you are seeking to prioritize and honor God, even as your kids get older and they get out of the home, they will look back and they will see your integrity. They will see that you are pursuing God in your life. And there will be a payback for that. We don't become weary in helping people find and connect with Jesus. Over time, eventually, we're going to see a harvest from that. When we don't become weary in spending quality time with God, we're going to see that that begins to make, over time, begins to make a difference in our attitude and our joy and inner peace and strength and the confidence that we live with on a day-to-day basis. And this right here, this is a promise. This is a promise from God. If we don't become weary and give up, there will be a harvest. There will be a positive payback, a positive payoff. God will somehow reward us eventually. Maybe not what we thought. Maybe not how we thought the reward would come. Maybe not when we thought the reward would come. It says here, at the proper time, which means in God's timing, not ours, but there will be a harvest. There will be a positive payoff. We will be rewarded and blessed in this life and in the life to come. Now, as I said, doing good doesn't get us into heaven. But doing good, get this, you may not have realized this, doing good does lead, Scripture tells us it leads to rewards in heaven. Multiple scriptures, 1 Corinthians 3, other scriptures make it very clear that while doing good things doesn't get us into heaven, there are rewards that it leads to when we get to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, for some of us, even though we begin to live with that realization, there are times where we just get tired. We get exhausted. And we just reach a point where we just kind of feel like giving up. But it's saying, don't give up. Don't give up in doing good. Don't give up. A number of years ago, I was wanting to learn how to snowboard. And so I went and I rented a snowboard from a little shop. It was called Cruise or Bruise, the name of the shop, which is a very good description of what happens when you're snowboarding. You either cruise or you bruise. And so I rented this board and I went up to the top of the mountain, didn't take lessons or anything, and I just took off down the mountain. I did not cruise. I bruised. I just crashed, and I probably fell 1,000 times going down the mountain, and it was bad. I mean, these aren't just kind of like falls. I mean, this is like face plants, and you're landing in the snow, and it's cold, and so I'm cold. I'm miserable. I'm hurting. I'm getting really banged up and bruised up from the whole deal, and I mean, I'm just wanting to quit. I mean, just so many times while I'm going down, it's like I just need to get inside somewhere where it's warm. I need to get away from this. This is awful. I just want to give up. But every so often, while I'm going down, in spite of wanting to give up so many times, every so often for like 50 yards or 25 yards or just a little ways, I would cruise for a little ways. And it would be like, oh, this is so neat. This is so cool. Maybe I could do it. And it's crash. And I'm like, oh, no, I need to give up. I need to give up. But I kept going. I kept going. And eventually, because I kept going, I got to where I could actually snowboard. I could actually go down. And so this last year, I was able to do this trick right here. So that was pretty exciting. No, that was not me. No, I've had, yeah, no, I stay earthbound when I do the snowboarding deal, okay? But sometimes we get to that point where I wish that would be cool. Where we just want to give up, and you've probably had that with your own kids. You know, they're playing a sport, or maybe they picked up an instrument, and they're kind of hitting the wall, and they reach this point where it's like, I just want a kid. I can't do this. I'm not going to do anything. And as a parent, you step in, and because you know that they really do want to get good at that, you encourage them and you nudge them. You know, stick in there, keep with it. And when they've done that, when they've stuck with it in that sport or with that instrument, and they've seen the results over time of not giving up. And that's what it's telling us here. Don't give up. What God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on that person that always has an excuse for why they don't have time for God. Don't give up. It says here, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, what will that harvest look like? You know what? I don't know exactly what that harvest will look like for you. It could be that people that you've invested in and you cared about and loved, it could be them finding and connecting with Jesus. I mean, God wants to use us. He wants to use you to make an eternal difference, a spiritual difference in people's lives around you. It could be people seeing people that you've invested in, cared about, getting their lives on track. It could be you experiencing God's love and joy and peace more fully and more deeply. You knowing and walking with God at just another level than you ever have before in your life. It could be one of your friends that you invited for Easter services just totally having their life just changed. It could be you finding healing in your marriage, or another relationship that you've been praying for, that you've been investing in. You know, maybe you're here today, and the truth is you are worn out. You're exhausted. There's some things that are going on in your life, and you're hitting the wall. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like giving up. You don't know what to do next. Maybe God brought you here today just to hear this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Whatever it is that's going on in your life right now, you are tempted to give up in. God wants to say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. Just take the next right step. Just do the next right thing. And then take the next right step. And the next right step. And just keep moving in the right direction, taking the next right step. Don't give up. It doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be glamorous. It doesn't have to be impressive. Just take the next right step. Never give up on doing good. And God will honor that. And God will bless that. That's what it's talking about right here. So never, never, never give up on doing good. God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. He has blessed us so we can build in to others. When we choose to do good, we will reap a reward of good. So never give up on doing good. And then number three, do good. We need to do good to everyone. We need to do good to everyone. The scripture goes on in verse 10. It says, therefore, and the therefore refers back to everything that we just talked about. Therefore, because God has set in place this law of sowing and reaping. Therefore, because there are consequences to decisions and choices and actions that we take in our life. Therefore, because there will be a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, he says, therefore, as we have opportunity, as the opportunities arise, whenever we can, therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good to all people. Let us be kind and nice and help and serve all people, all people. Not just some people, not just people that we enjoy being around, not just people who look like us, who have the same values, who have the same beliefs, but it says, let's do good to all people. And it goes on and says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. It says, we need to pay extra attention to those who are part of the family of faith. We need to pay extra attention to those who are fellow followers of Christ. And the Bible says, as we love each other as followers of Christ, the world, the culture, the people around us, they will take notice and they will know that we belong to Jesus, that we are followers of Jesus. And as they see how we care and how we love each other and how we are doing good for each other, they will be drawn to that. So what we need to do is we need to say, God, here's my life. God, here's my life. God, I am offering you my life. God, help me to live with a greater awareness of the opportunities to do good that are around me, that are before me, that come my way. God, energize me. God, use me. Here's my life. It may be as simple as just being kind to someone. It may be helping someone in some way. Giving them a helping hand. It may be helping someone connect and find Jesus in their life. When you say, God, here's my life. I'm offering my life to you. I want to do good. Not out of obligation because I have to, but God, out of gratitude, out of thankfulness. God, for what you've done for me. Here's my life. Maybe you're here today and you're worn out. Man, you're exhausted. You're tired. You're at the point where you're just barely staying afloat. And what you feel like doing is giving up. And I just want to say a word of encouragement. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep your eyes on God, on this God. Stay connected to this God who cares about you and wants to walk with you through whatever it is that you're facing. Don't allow yourself to fall into or be lured in to unhealthy patterns. When you're exhausted, when you're worn out, that's when you have this draw, this pull to do things that aren't good, that aren't healthy in your life. Don't allow yourself to be lured into that kind of stuff. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep doing the next right thing. Just keep doing the next right thing. Never give up. Never give up on doing good. Never give up on doing good. Just keep doing the next right thing. Keep doing good. Keep doing good. Keep investing in people's lives. Not so you get into heaven, but because when you sow to the Spirit, when you sow by doing good things, you will set in motion a ripple effect that brings good out of it. And there will be a harvest. There will be a result from it. Positive payback from it. And we're going to pray here in just a moment. Just imagine what could happen in our families. What could happen in our marriages. What could happen in our community and in the schools that we're a part of, in our work environments, in our neighborhood, in our church family. What could happen if we made it a point to begin to see people the way God sees people? And we were just nice to them. We were kind to the people around us. And we reached out and we helped people when we have the opportunity, and we served people in our lives. And we were present. We were really fully present and engaged with people. And we listened to them. We listened to what's going on in their world, in their life. We encouraged them. And we built into them. And we helped them bloom and soar and reach new heights in their life. And even when we're hurt or wrong, what if we followed the example of Jesus and we extended grace to people, and we forgave people, and we repaid insult instead of repaying insult with insult. We repaid insult with kindness and with gentleness and with blessing. You know what would happen? Marriages, families, relationships would be healed. There would be greater strength and health in those relationships, and people, the people around us, we would start feeling valued and respected and honored and loved and cared for. As that begins to happen, others would be drawn to Jesus, and they would want what we can have, what can be there when we do the right thing. Never give up on doing good. Let's never give up on doing good. Just keep doing the next right thing. Take the next step and do the next right thing. Never give up on doing good. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, my prayer is that we would live with the realization that our choices set in motion a ripple effect. God, there is a principle of sowing and reaping that is in effect, and we will reap whatever it is that we sow. And so, God, my prayer is this day that each of us here, that we would say, God, I want to sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. I want to sow in such a way that it is honoring to you. I want to do what's right. I want to do good and continue to do good in order to see the harvest, the good that you are going to bring about as a result of it. God, may we never give up on doing good. May we never give up on doing good. Yeah, we pray that this ripple effect, that it will just continue to spread and spread, and that more lives will be touched and drawn to you. Lord, for those who are here, who are just worn out and exhausted, may they take to heart that you want to walk with them. I pray that you would give them the strength and courage to never give up. As hard as it is to keep getting back up and taking the next right step, and then the next right step. God, may we live our lives doing good. Not to get into heaven, but out of gratitude and love. Not out of duty, not out of obligation. But God, out of gratitude for what you've done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.